So on Wednesday, what did we look at? The reality of our authority in the name of Jesus. The reality of our authority in the name of Jesus. And we say the name of Jesus is beyond saying J-E-S-U-S. In Jesus' name, or Jesus' name, or the name of Jesus. But we say there are three things that pertain to a name. What are those things that pertain to a name? A name is acquired by what? Identity, two, decision, position, and the third one is authority. And by now you know what your name is and which one of the three you belong to about. So, and we say that we receive salvation in the name, and we are born into the name. We say it at salvation, we are born again in the name. That is to be born again in the authority of Christ, or we are born again in the name, implying that it's because of what Christ did that we are born again. So, but also we saw that in Luke chapter 9, chapter 10, Jesus sent them out in His name, in His authority. And we say that wasn't salvation, but that was what? The right to use the name as a power of attorney. Remember that? So they could use His name. They would say, in the name of Jesus, or in the authority of Jesus, come out, you devils. These were not men born again. But we said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, we actually see that salvation is actually described as being born into the name. He says, Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what was the calling upon the name of the Lord? It's to believe in the heart, and confession is made with the mouth, and to salvation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we also said that there are certain things we can do in the name. Now, notice it's not certain things we can do by the name, but there are certain things we can do in the name. Which means, in the name is a place. Say, it's a place. There's a place called in the name. That place is in Christ. So in Christ, there are things we can do. Ideally, that is what he's saying. Because you are born again by the name. You're born again into the name. So there are things we can do in the name. Who can remind me one of those things? We can what? We can make demands in the name. We can make demands in the name. That means in the authority of Christ, by virtue of what he has done, also by virtue of who he is as the Son of God, Romans 4:1-4, declared by the Spirit of God, by the resurrection from the dead, by the resurrection, because of what he has done, there are certain demands we can make in the name. In John chapter 14, he says, ask me. Let's just read those texts. John 14 and 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes in me, the works that I shall do also, and greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So, he attained the name because of what he did with the Father. And then he says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, it's not like when we ask, I know I've written it like this. It's not like when we ask Jesus, we ask the Father in Christ, then God receives glory. But what he's saying is this. In the glorification of the Son, we can ask in the name. Do you know what that means? That means because of what the Son has done, we have the right to exercise and make demands. Now, because of what the Son has done, when we make a demand, we are making the demand in the name. Is that clear? Is that clear, Brother Jackson? When, because of what he has done, what is his glorification? You know, he says, glorify your name. He says, I've glorified it. Glorify it again. What he's saying is, in his work, he goes into his glory. Remember in Luke chapter 24? Honor the Christ who have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. So to enter into his glory is the glorification. The glorification of Jesus happens in the resurrection and the ascension. So because he's glorified, we have the right to the name. How do we have the right to the name? We have the right to the name because now salvation is offered because of the name, because of the work. So now in the name, we can make demands. And one of those demands we saw we can make is the demands anti the powers of darkness. Mark chapter 16. Go into all the world, I think this is verse 15, and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. How did I explain that on Friday? These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Remember? Romans chapter 10 verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the one that has called upon the name of the Lord is the one described in Mark 16 and 16 as the one that has believed in his name. So it's not like these signs shall follow them that believe. Full stop. In my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they will speak in new tongues. In my name they will take up the... No. That would mean in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, demons cast out. But what he's saying, those that are born again, these signs shall follow them. Because they are born again into the name, they are saved into the name. Is that clear? So there are demands we can make. We can make demands against the powers of darkness. That means the devil has no right to afflict, assault your family and what is yours because you have authority in the name. What is the second thing we do in the name? We pray in the name. Again, it's not saying in the name of Jesus. We are in the name of Jesus. I'm stressing that. In the name of Jesus is a place. It's a what? There's a place called in the name of Jesus. Okay, and we are in that place. It's not a place we are going to. It's a place we are. It is a meno. It's called the household of God. John 14, 1, 2, and thereabout. Amen. So say, I'm in the name. So I can pray in the name. That means I have authority in the name. We see a number of prayers in the book of Acts in the name. Acts chapter 3, 5, and 7. Acts. This is the guy at the gate called Beautiful. Remember that guy? Silver or gold have I known, but that I have I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What? Get up. Rise up and walk. So what he's saying is this. I am invoking Mark 16 and 16. Because he said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. So Peter comes and stresses the fact that he's in the name. Okay. And so on and so forth. 3:16, when they were asked how they were doing those works, they said, it's because of faith in his name. Faith in his name. Acts chapter 4 verse 29 and 30. Now, this is something that was done following the model of what Jesus Christ did. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 verse 38 that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. And with power, he went about doing good, healing the sick, and all those who are oppressed of the devil because God was with So he's anointed of God, and then he goes out in power. He's not anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. So you can't say, you can be there when you're anointed with the Holy Ghost, but you're not anointed with power. Ever had that one? No. It's because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. By the way, I want to teach on anointing one time. It's because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost that he goes out in power. But you realize in the New Testament it has a different meaning. So like, you have an anointing of marriage. There are very many ridiculous anointings people have thrown out. I know you have had them, anointing for business. Anointing for what else now? Marriage. Amen. For what? For twins. Anointing for twins. You're so into that anointing. Jesus. And so we said, because of the name, when you come to pray in the name, there's an attitude you ought to have in prayer. What was that attitude? 1 John 5:13. This is one of my favorite prayer verses. It helped me so much in praying. I want you to learn it. These things, verse 13, 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now let's do a little Bible study here. So it seems as if John is writing, and he says, I've written to you that believe on the name. Okay? He wrote to you that believe that you may know that you have eternal life. But then the next line now says, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, that is inconsistent or doesn't make sense. Does it? Okay, let's look at it. He's saying, I have written to you that believe, that you may know that you have eternal life. And then how can he say now that you may believe on the name? Can you see it? He has written because they. So the right rendering there was supposed to be, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that believing on the name of the Son of God, this is the confidence that we have in Him. And you see how it makes sense. I've joined with verse 14. Okay. The Bible was not written with verse and chapters. Neither was it written in English. I'm not going forward without Sister Julia. Do you accept? Look at it. Let's look at it. You see, the way it is written, the English is not proper. I have written unto you that believe on the name, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name. Have we believed or have we not believed? So the next one is not writing so that we may believe. But this is what I'm saying. And believing on the name of the Son of God, this is the confidence that we have in Him. What is that confidence? That if we ask anything, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Huh? As opposed to, if we ask anything according to His will. Why so? Because you cannot tell me if Brother Ronnie says, ask anything you want. And then he asks, according to my will. Is that anything I want? That is his will. For all I know, his will can be chapati, akagati, and donut. That may be the realm of his will. So if he uses ask anything, it is incongruous, right?
So if there is an anything, there must be a freedom with the request. Now, you must know this, if again that is not sufficient for you, that John, the things he wrote in his gospel are similar to the things he wrote in his epistle. Now, in his gospel, he wrote the same thing, that ask anything. And he didn't add according to the will. Remember that in John 16? You don't remember. John 16, watch. Let's just go back. Leave a finger back in there. Okay, where are we now? Or 14. Now, verse 13 of 14 says, whatsoever I shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may glorify. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So when you come back to his epistle, chapter 5, and he says, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name, that you may know that you have eternal life, and believing on the name of the Son of God, this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything, according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we have what? The answers to our petitions. It means God's will in prayer is to hear. It's not that his will is for you to pray in his will. God's will in prayer is what? To hear. Your confidence is in the fact that if he has heard, I have the answers to my petitions. Now, this is not very far from what Mark described about prayer in the 11th chapter and the 24th verse. He says, whatsoever things you desire. What did he say? Whatsoever. What do you desire? Say, whatsoever. The Bible does not teach prayer like this. That God says in prayer, God is either yes, no, or wait. Have you ever heard that one? When you pray, God can tell you yes. He can also tell you no. He can also say, tell you what? Wait. What is your own? What does it mean? So then he says this. You see, now I'm teaching prayer. He says, Mark 11, 24, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received it, and you shall have it. Prayer is not like God is not hearing. Eh? Most times it's like we are not praying. Or better yet, we are not asking. And there are very many things. Don't ask amiss. I mean, God, you are the one who knows. God, I know there are some people who talk down on prayer by using texts like, you know, the Bible says, even if before it is even on your mind, God knows it. God knows anything I want. So why should I pray? Ever had that one? Ever asked yourself that? If God knows anything, why should I pray? But you know, there is a way things work. There is a way things work. And God has told us how things work. We pray. We speak, we use our words. Hallelujah. Today I want to look at a very practical one. We shall do one session today. Are you happy? Like, shoo. This is a very practical one. The reality, actually it's the last reality we are going to look at. Then the next thing we shall look at, what next? Those are my realities. How does that put food on my table? How does that put food on my? Hey, I know I'm the righteousness of God. Yes, then I know. I have the reality of indwelling, but right now I'm single. How does that help me in this situation? See, I like that pastor. He speaks about what is happening in my life right now. It's like he was at home with me. You ever said that? We don't preach your situation. We preach the word. The reality of our fellowship with one another. Open brackets, attending a local church. Yes. Yes. Someone once said that the church of God is not local. Most of them, the word local church meant local. But their problem was grammar. The word local does not mean local, local, like from Bukoma, Simbi, or what. Local speaks of a particular area. It can be a local church in New York. Is New York local like that? They say the church of God is not local. The reality of our fellowship with one another. Remember, we looked at the reality of our fellowship with God. So now we're going to look at the reality of our fellowship with one another, attending a local church. The church is the body of Christ. This involves members/believers. Members and all believers. A man is received into the body of Christ when he believes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You are received into the body of Christ when you accept the what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Open the epistles. Let's look at the assembly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Are we there? For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. So we are baptized into one body. Whether we be Banyankore or Wachiga, Baganda or Watoro, whether we be houseboys or bankers or managers, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. One Spirit. There is one tribe in God. Hallelujah. As a person is born again, he's born again into that one body, partaking of one Spirit. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him We both have access by one Spirit
unto the Father.
Now therefore, you are also no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Fellow citizens, household of God. We are born into a family. We are born into a house. Listen. A man is identified with the church by the new birth. By the new birth, you are identified into the body of Christ. Now, this is speaking worldwide. Or this is speaking every person who has believed the death, burial of the resurrection of Jesus. We are the church of the living God. Whether Catholic or Protestant. If they have believed burial, death, resurrection, we are born into one body. We are born of one spirit. They may not know it. You know, a person can be a heretic, but they are still a children of God. Amen. They are heaven bound. That is why, even when we find people we disagree with, it is usually not good to attack somehow. You know what I mean? Let me tell you something. I know preachers who speak things I would not say. But when I find other people attacking them on the natural, on their mistakes, I take their side. You get the difference? Being against what somebody teaches is not a warrant to dishonor them or disregard them out of the house of God. You can remain respectable even to a person you know their doctrine is off. And that person can bless you. They don't cease to be a pastor, a man of God, just because they don't believe salvation is forever. Amen. Just yesterday I was prophesied on by a man, I don't agree with his teaching. But because I honored him in his office, he just started to speak by the Spirit on my life. And I was greatly blessed. There are some things you just never forget. Amen. Don't say because the minister, you start calling them by just their first name. No. Don't dishonor. It's like your father, you may not have agreed with some of the things, but don't just come and say what that way. You know? My father is said what I can't just, you know. You don't lose that. Praise the Lord. So we have believers. I have a friend, he's a Catholic. But this Catholic is more pious than some born again. So one day, there's a very good friend of mine. He's in the police. He's pious. He praises things. He shares scriptures like that. So one day I was talking on phone. I call him my brother. So the guy just started prophesying. You know, he did know he was prophesying. But me, I knew what he was doing. And he just started prophesying about my family, my own, not for my parents. You know, he just spoke and just started speaking and just started speaking and just started speaking. And he was telling me, my brother, trust God. You know, I'm just saying, yes, amen. I teach these things. Let me tell you. You know, listen, you know, God, you guys, practice this thing called honor our Lord. Bill Johnson one time made a statement, Pastor Bill Johnson, they call themselves Bill Johnson, Americans. He said, Sometimes God will put what you need in a person you think you don't need. He will say there will be times when he's praying for a particular direction in his life, and God will use a late church member. And that church member is the one who has the word from the Lord. Now this is the thing. When you, the individual, you're praying or asking God for certain things, you know what you're waiting for. When you honor these believers here, I may just be talking to Brother Jackson, and Brother Jackson will start to speak. He will not say, wait, Apostle, listen. I hear the Spirit. Let me just pray for you. No, it may just be a conversation, and he will say things, and they are answering a question you had. And perhaps you had not heard from the Lord. But the fact that I honor this one is my brother. That means even when I'm in conversations with people, I must practice to listen also. You get? Because it's in that that you pick up some of these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes the answers we are looking for are right here, but they are just a recognition away from who God has put in front of us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2. We are of the household of God. Is it God or God? God is a good God. God is a good God. That is when you didn't copy everything well. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. This is how we come into the family. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. He did what? Brought many sons to glory. Verse 11. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. We are his brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Christ by his resurrection has made us sons and calls us brethren. Say you are Jesus' brethren. Yes. His church. Now, that word church is a Greek word ecclesia, from two words, ek and kaleo. It means the called out ones. The called out. It's not the building. The called out. However, the called out ones meet at a place. So it is also not out of place to say, I'm going to church. Is that clear? So they are called out. Who can tell me? What are they called out of? They are called out of the world into his family. They are called out of sin into his family. They are called out of darkness into this family. They are the ecclesia. I'll sing praises in the midst of my brethren. So a gathering is also in the background. Hallelujah. A single individual is not a church. Praise the Lord. Say, I alone am not a church. So we are called out into a family. We are called out into a gathering. Jump to chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23. He says this, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Are we there? Verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How do we consider one another? How do we provoke one another unto love and good works? By verse 25. Not forsaking what? Selves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Okay? That word provoke implies to stimulate. It means to encourage. It means to move. It means to spur one another. Now, I want to tell you, Pastor Godwin has been stressing the point of company for about 2-3 weeks. Some of you have noticed that. Now, take that for granted. Don't take that for granted. It is very important that you have people who provoke you unto love, who provoke you unto good works. You must have people in your life who you know they will ask you, how is your prayer life? Did you go to church? Where were you on Sunday? If you don't have such friends, you are in trouble. They provoke you. You see, that is love. That is love. If you have a spouse and they don't provoke you to prayer, not because they're a prayer point, but because they are saying, honey, we need to pray. You are not praying. Did you study? They are asking you, what does this verse mean? Those are a good company. Did you hear that? Everybody should have at least one. When you come to church and they notice the way you are not rejoicing somehow, they ask you, what's going on? Is everything okay? You must have someone. When they see you with a different lady every week, they ask you, what's up? Who are these sisters? You have not seen them on Crystal Academy. You know? You must have people. Now, people don't like people like that. People ask them, what are you putting on your status? We don't like. It's my life. Is it your own? You know? Say, sister, I think. They said, this is my life. What did they say? Salvation is personal. Who told you? You know that is not scripture. Salvation is personal. You know your God, I also know my God. You know there are some ridiculous statements I hear. Your God and my God. Okay. Who are our gods? I cannot tell you. Very many people actually. The biggest reason people have left this church is because we have gone to ask them things like that. That's the biggest reason. Don't let anyone who left you here lie to you that there is anything else. That one is the biggest. You must come on Wednesday. You are not coming for prayer meeting. They don't like it. And we are not going to stop. Someone must ask you. Realize we don't ask you how much you earn. We're going to tell you, pray. We don't see you pray. Pray. I want a church where I enjoy my liberties in God. God is not forceful. The Holy Spirit is gentle. He's gentle. They say, open your mouth. For me, in this moment, I'm just soaking in God. No, we don't want you to soak. You are not beans. You will soak at home. Here, we want lay back. We want your mouth open. This is not that. If you go back home, you soak all you want. Hallelujah. People don't like that. Well, we must tell you. Amen. I had disciples, they even blocked me. Because I was always watching. I was disordered. Oh, it's so funny. Even disciple, don't lie to your disciple. One day, this lady, I don't know, was supposed to be church. She didn't come.
She didn't tell me.
So when I was walking in Tinder, now how do you move in Tinder? Boom! Our eyes fell on each other. You know that one where you see each other and all of you look at... I looked at her to show her I've seen her. She looked away from me like I've not seen her. And she was with a certain boy who doesn't speak in tongues. So I looked. You know that when you want someone to see you, I've seen them. And I walk away. That one is enough guilt. I can't even text you. I can't even call. I leave you. I even act normal. The guilt you feel there is enough. God will go out of you. Ajakuvam. And then there are... You know, some of you, people know you, you know. Some, another sister now. Wednesday, Bible study, we are la, ga, bra, ga, za, ge, he. While she's in the taxi, bypassing the church, going home. Now, someone met her in the taxi, who knows the church and knows our program and knows she goes there. Pastor, don't you guys have Bible study today? Ouch. Hey, where are you going? Amen. But don't be like that. We are called into a gathering. You ought to celebrate coming to church. We even have soda. Why don't you? That's a joke. Hallelujah. So he says, edify. Provoke one another unto love and good works. That is what it means to be a brother's keeper. Go into their faces and ask them, where are you? Even before they are disciples. Are you growing? Hey, let's first do a Bible quiz there. Hey, what does Luke 24 say? Hey. How long can you now pray? Praise the Lord. So, the word not forsaking implies not altering. This involves not to disregard or to desert. It is a function of an attitude. It is an attitude. We do not disregard the assembly. Hallelujah. Don't. And there is a time which reaches, and some excuses you also don't make for missing church. Amen. Spur one another unto love and good works. In 1 Corinthians 14:26, Paul called it edifying. Edifying. It's in the body that we are edified. We edify one another. So let's go back to that Hebrews 10:24. Consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works. The word assembling in verse 25 refers to a physical gathering. It's a physical gathering. We don't assemble online. Write that one. Online is not an assembly. Assembling together. Now you may say, things have changed. Technology has changed. The word of God hasn't. The practices of the word have not changed. An assembly is required. It is a reality of our salvation. Say, what time is the service? Do you guys have live stream? I'll live stream it at home. It's okay, you even live stream on your wedding. Live streaming is for persecution. If you can be there, get there. There's no need why you should live stream from Chuatu.
I believe one of the biggest temptations of the 2020s of this current age is a data connection. Is Wi-Fi. That is become the biggest root of all evil. Everything is done evil because people have data. Some of you, if you didn't have data, you wouldn't be seeing it. Naye data. Because the people who have data think they must say something with their data. That is the problem on Facebook. But you are in a connection. And it's supposed to be expiring. I say, well, what can I do now? Let me say something. It's not about over praying. It is about quality praying. If that person didn't have data, we wouldn't have that nonsense. You know that, right? But it's because they have that button which they can press. People now have revelation because they have data. You know, it is different. Because now you have data, you will get something to say. But then, if you ever got something to say, you have to look for an audience to hear it. Now, you have jobless people telling you, wow, ha, go deeper. That's deep. Even those who haven't read. Then you come out because you have 2,000 friends on Facebook, more than your pastor. You now feel big. The man of God, I haven't me. We reach lives. We are not bound by borders. We are not bound by borders. We minister to tens, I minister to thousands. Where? On Facebook. Faceless people. That's what they are. Very bold because they are faceless. Some ideas you could send a slap online. I want to pray for that anointing. This is a guy that's been wanting to. No, honestly, the reason I left Facebook at first is because it was making me too angry. I have come back, things haven't changed. I think I want to live permanently, never to return. The idiocy, is alarming. It is too much. But why? You know, if you want to be a joker, you can joke. It's okay. But this poor joke in the word, eh? God punish the devil. But if I meet that guy, I'm going to tell him to his face. Is that he has a congregation? So sometimes I type in his comments, I rap, because I respect him. No, I fear for his congregation. I wanted to type to him. I sent him a message. He didn't reply. I wanted to tell him, you know, you don't have to say something every time. Do you know it's actually okay not to type anything? Like, it is okay. They won't see your Facebook. If you don't say anything, it's fine. Oh, well, yeah, 20 minutes in the 20 minutes in the You caught everyone. Everyone. Very soon you caught Hitler and the Imam. And you won't know. Because you want quotes.
Amen.
An assembly is required. You know, sometimes you love your brothers, you want to defend them, but they're not helping themselves. You know, eh? Be like, okay, now What can I say? If a person can come and say something like this publicly, how do you defend it?
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Verse 23. To the general assembly, the church of the first, the church of the, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. That word assembly, general assembly, refers to a festival. That festival, our gathering, is a festival. It is a coming together of the children of God. It's a celebration. Listen, we are not saved into isolation. We are saved to our family. We are not saved to isolation. We are saved to our family. Hallelujah. This is family. The reality of the church is a reality of our family. Now let's look at the local church in the book of Acts. The book of Acts gives us a very good picture of the local church. You see a huge emphasis on the local church, on the gathering of believers. In fact, in Acts, they even met daily. Acts 1:4. From Jesus, after resurrection, he said, and being assembled together, no, he didn't say he found them, assembled together, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. So he formed them assembled together. When Jesus was going to leave the earth physically, he addressed his disciples. The Great Commission was directed to a gathering. The Great Commission was directed to a gathering. They were together. The letters, the epistles, were written to churches or to men who had oversight in churches. Because solitary Christianity is no Christianity. Praise the Lord. We are not saved to ourselves. We are saved to our family. Look at verse 14, Acts 1. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers or brethren. We see other examples. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Say one place. One accord, one place. You can't be in one accord differently. Sometimes we're in the same place, but not in one accord. Amen. I told you about what happened to me on 31st. I went somewhere, other people were praying, others were eating in the same place. All those of us who are praying, others who are looking at us who are praying. Now, if that doesn't disturb, do you know a guy who looks at you like who looks at you? Like, oh, no? Like for them, they came for 31st plot. To cross the year with God, is how we put it. I have to enter the year in. And after entering, they get out. But one accord, one place.
in an assembly. The greatest strength of the church is unity. And the greatest gift you can give to your pastor is loyalty. The greatest strength of the church is unity. The greatest gift or the greatest requirement of a pastor from you is your loyalty. Do you know some people fear unity? They feel like unity is a hard thing. Let me tell you, unity is not hard. Unity is not hard. Listen, you all have one spirit. You have the same spirit. You are all disciples of Jesus. You have all believed the gospel. Why should there be disunity? As long as those things remain, sent, they can't. Unity does not mean you don't have differences. Right? Unity does not mean you don't have different likes. Does not mean sometimes you may not be happy with each other. But there's something that unites us that is greater than anything that seeks to separate us. And once you establish that in the first place, this unity will never come naive. You know, some people fear to commit because they think anything can change. Me, I told Pastor Godwin, me. I told him, I am with you to the end. I'm not going anywhere until you chase me. Now, another person can fear that statement. I'm not your man. Why would you fear to say, I'm going to be with you for the next 10 years? You sign contracts. Don't you sign contracts? What is the contract? You say, 3 years you are bound to the same employer. Maybe people who come to church because they are protecting themselves. Eh? 50-50, Tomanya. Now let me tell you this. The first thing you do before you join a church, you find out what a church stands for. Now this is what you do. As a person going to a church, you must know what must be in a church. So you establish and say, I must find this in the church. It is not something subjective to you, but it is a pattern described by the scriptures. You see, if I find these things, I am committing them. This is a guy who used to be in this church years back. And he would say, what do you say? We're now going to pray. We're going to take off some time and fast and pray. He said, no. God speaks to us individually. If God has told you, let Him also speak to us. We will fast. I said, no, but we really need to have a corporate fast. He said, for me, if we reach a time and we are not agreeing, I'm going to leave. Imagine you're in a relationship and someone is always telling you, me any day, zezange uzivako. How can you do that? You see, people are hypocritical. And you know, sometimes if you're just honest, there are things you wouldn't do in a church. Because there are things you never do at work. When you sit with your boss, you say, hey, I'm here, but I'm warning you. If you ever quarrel at me, oh! Even my mom has never quarreled at me. Look at the people who tell you. If I will leave. Why? Because people think there are other options. Hallelujah. But commitment is not supposed to be hard. You find something we are standing for.
So this church is about the gospel. That is it. I will not leave because of Pastor Godwin's dress code. So let's be honest. You say, I am going to stay. As long as the gospel is preached. What is binding us? The gospel. If they leave the gospel, you can leave. Because that is the only reason you're supposed to be here. Now, these things that they forgot my birthday, we didn't bury our dog, they are petty, stupid, people leave. Is that the church? Nibatani anjula? And you can go everywhere like that. So when you find those guys who know how to minister to your emotions, you say this is a good church. We reach, everywhere they welcome you. They put these nice ladies at the gate. They are warm. When you go back home, they send you a text. Thank you for coming to church. Come back again. They are thinking about you. On your birthday, they call you. The pastor has jokes. The sermon is not long. The church venue is nice. But Gamba, you will feel at church. You know? In that church, I feel like there are opportunities. They welcome everyone's gift. You know, brother so-and-so is a comedian. Last time they gave him a skit. Sister so-and-so is a fashion designer. She came and modeled. You see, the church is the body of Christ. Then I would bring the scripture. Everybody is not their hand. Some of us are fingers. Others are fingernails. You will be cut off if you're a fingernail. So we are all, you know, we are all important. Even just preaching. Is everything preaching? In the church. So we have comedy nights. We have singles night. We have fashion night. We have business Sunday. We have seekers club. We have teens club. We just have a variety. But when you enter that church, you will always find somewhere to fit in. It's okay. But you're not fitting in Christ. Oh, very carnal. Someone I told sometime back, come to grow. I'm not happy. What's wrong? Okay, maybe people call me tough, but. So you see, Apostle, I'm looking for a man, they are nowhere. I wanted to slap you. My head is thinking, would you marry you? You look at yourself. Now, some of you don't know me. I used to be very rough, very hard. One time I told a classmate of mine at campus, those guys would say, I told her I could never marry a woman like you. Point blank, like that. I look at yourself. Not physically. Physically, she's beautiful to people. So look at your manners. Just, you know, look at yourself. Now, this lady, you're saying you want a husband. It's not always about God. No. Look at your status. You're using dirty words. Which man is going to marry you? No, honest. This is not even wisdom. This is... almost because you think you're putting pictures when you're like this. And you have ears. What's that one? Ears and the nose of a dog. What is that one? Snapchat. You think that is it? Good luck.
Amen.
You know, these things are not a mystery. Let me tell you, these things are not mysterious at all. There is a pattern. You follow that pattern, you get the result. Period. Period. No way around it. No hands laid. It is just 1 plus 2 is equal to 3. Simple. There is a person I told, if any of my friends came and asked, anyone came and asked me if they can marry you, I would say no. Point blank. Because you look at it, you are not a good person. You are a believer. You are my brother. I can't even post them on my status. Happy birthday, brother. God is hey. But if anyone came to ask me, what do you think about this person? I would say no. I'd say no. Now you see, in a local church setting, there are people who know you. You had Pastor Gordon recommend some of you somewhere. But imagine you're threatening your pastor in the inbox. There are people who threaten their pastor. Pastor Ngenda Mpola. And then you say you don't have a job. Now, why would you have a job? What, how? Ngenda Mpola. I saw someone one time raising a voice at Pastor. I said, look at these bad manners. Who raised you like? Who born you to talk like this? Who said, weren't you afraid? Some of you, your doors are here. You see these brothers here, you see and sisters. Some of these people have big doors for you. But they watch you. They see your attitude. Amen. They see your attitude. And then you put up your hands and say, God, open for me doors. Which ones? Just simple things. I told someone, ladies, never marry a man who is not accountable. Never. Never. Also, if he has multiple influences, be very careful. Hallelujah. In the local church, we learn certain things about people. This is family. We relate here. Praise the Lord. We know who is faithful. And that is an indicator of other faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Let me continue. Are we learning something? Acts chapter 2 verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42 together. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued. They gather together. One thing is certain. If you give yourself to the word of God, to a gathering, you are going to be transformed. You are going to change. You are going to change. That's a fact. You won't remain the same. Amen. But in the assembly, we also learn how to relate with people. Because people are people. Amen. We learn to relate with people. When a man is saved, it is unto fellowship. This requires a coming together and not through the media. In Acts chapter 4, verse 22 and 23, when they were threatened, do you know why they went back? They went back to their own company and prayed. Imagine they were alone. Imagine Peter was alone. They have flogged him and threatened him. He needed a place of strength. And that is your brothers and sisters in the local assembly. Hallelujah. Now I know some of you have some stories. Some of you have stood with each other. You have prayed through things. You have even supported each other financially. That is a brotherhood. Pastor Victor there is one of my closest brothers. Brother. And it's been years. But brotherhood.
I think I remember a time, I'll never forget, I was sick. Both Brother Victor and Sister Tezra. I was in hospital. I thought that time I was going to die. And I couldn't eat anything. Victor now told me the story. I told him I wanted Katogo. It was about what, 11 a.m.? He went. These guys were in the hospital with me when my family was in. My biological family. And I was admitted, and they were the ones there. Brotherhood. And he went to look for it, and he told me the ladies were asking him, "You have a pregnant wife who is asking for Katoga at this time." Well, that was some weird time, maybe afternoon.
I don't recall.
But I will never forget that. I can never forget that. No matter what happens, I cannot reach out and say, Victor, even if it wasn't you, God would have used another person. How much was it? Let me pay it back to you. Never forget past kindness. That's the problem we have. Now you have gotten some money. You walk over everyone. You forget.
I'm saying, Godwin, what's up? How are you guys doing at Imitate?
We are the ones who prayed with you. We laid hands on you. I was telling you, a girl, we cast devils out. So I said, Muri Mutie. Hey, Chachi, I'm here. You, if I slap off your head. And people have done that to me. People you helped, they came crying to me. Me, I was all there. When they were growing. When they reached course somewhere. Graduated, got a job. Now start praising another man of God elsewhere. But would I stop doing what I do? No. That is humanity. There is folly. And they can come back. Receive brain. You know, the people you help, you now pretend because maybe they said something to you or you are angry at them. Now you go on social media and thank everyone else. I thank. Oh my God, Brother Ronnie, you have been there. I am the one who has been there for you. When are you saying the whole world has been there for you? You are trying to silence the voice in your conscience, which is telling you you are a rebel. And you know. And they know. I say, hey God, I am the one who introduced her to someone. So when she graduated, she didn't tell me. She called that person. And you know, this is how even people split men of God who are friends. They come and they call all of you father. You know? But the people who were there, whether you silence it how, the people who helped you, helped you.
Hallelujah. Amen. So we are family. Never forget past kindness. Please, never forget past kindness. Don't. Don't disregard it. Amen. You know what people have done for you. Don't treat it lightly. Okay? So in the midst of persecution, the apostles still assembled together to pray. Acts chapter 5. We're looking at the local church in Acts. The reality of our assembly. Acts chapter 5 verse 12. And by hands of apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord. These guys continued meeting together. Verse 14, and believers were the more added to the multitudes, both of men and Amen.
More people increased, but yet they kept coming together. They kept meeting. They kept coming to the assembly.
Praise the Lord.
Some things are only possible in the assembly. You don't lay hands online. You know? You lay hands in the assembly. You know what? Sometimes we never think about this. But there's a way God has created the local church that there is much more grace for people in your local assembly to minister to you more powerfully than outside. And I told you, I learned this from Pastor Segun. He said, the word, the prophetic word you receive from your pastor, usually take that one very, very highly. But what do we do most of the time? Is the prophetic words from the house we treat lightly. You say, God is doing ABC. You're like, that pastor, it is, you're just encouraging me. No. Don't treat lightly the words that come from your man of God. Amen. If Pastor Godwin tells me not to do something, I don't do it. Pastor Godwin tells me to do something, I do it. And I mean personal things now. Run them by him. He tells me, do A, B, C, D. Don't do. I take it like a word coming from God. Now I teach here. I could say, no, I also hear God. Does God only speak to you? No. I have learned not to be foolish. Take them seriously. Praise the Lord. In Acts chapter 6, when people were crying for food and they needed someone to give that ministry, they needed to anoint deacons. Guess where they got them? Check from among yourselves. From among yourselves. We are going to pick from here. Don't worry. We are going to pick from here. Hallelujah. And when we've grown, we have been here for a number of years. It's the people who have been here with us that are the ones who are going to put over something. Not because a certain mighty man now comes and joins us. No. You join us as a mighty brother. And you will have to grow through the realities. Whether he has taught them for years, he has to come. You know, someone was telling us sometime back, but you know, some people come to the church, they come when they are already ministers. They come when they are already pastors. You know, we cannot treat them the same way as other believers. What do you mean? This is not that. This man is a pastor. He's here sitting. I also ask him, where are you? Yeah, you ask the wife. She knows. She has to tell me when they didn't come. But these ones have learned those things. They don't argue. Why are you asking me? Why shouldn't I ask you? Even may I have someone who asks me. Amen. So I'm just following the chain. Hallelujah. But you know, when you grow beyond those things, let me tell you, you are going to grow. You are going to enjoy salvation. When you grow beyond these many, many things of they are stepping on my toes. You are set up. Let me tell you, you are set up. Those many, many things of little offense, you cannot be stopped. You cannot, your growth will not be impeded. When you develop the right attitude from the beginning, I tell you the truth, you are going to grow. You stop even worrying about stopping. You won't. You are going to continue. Because you have said, you know, these realities we teach, things like righteousness, the word of God,
understanding Genesis, the law of Moses, all those doctrinal things, there's a bedrock they sit on. And that bedrock is a bedrock of Christian attitude and Christian values. Haven't you found some people, they seem like they know the word. They know the word, but they have bad manners. They are very proud. They are not submitted to any assembly. You know why? They don't have those bedrocks. And that knowledge is all a lie. It is not real. But when you establish those bedrocks, you can't stop. You know, even if you have been in error, because those bedrocks are there, when you realize the truth, you just accept it and you grow and you just continue. Because you have the right bedrock. So I always tell people, those things are as important as understanding the doctrine. What we call the teachings we like. Righteousness, faith, understanding, all those things. When you establish those other foundational things, you stand. You know, earlier, you people don't know that people have actually, what's the word called? I've been reproached, I've been told things. And some of them were right. I was growing. But because I knew I am growing, I knew I'm not going to give up. Because people are saying, you know, you are A, B, C, D, or D. When they told me things like that, I checked my own life. My pastor told me, I said, you know what? I need to work on this. So I just start to work on that. I don't defend it. I know this is not right. This is not supposed to be in me. I am growing. I need to be a better man. I need to be a better minister. So let's work. That is the attitude. It keeps you growing. And I'm still growing. Amen? I have kept that. I'm not afraid to learn. I'm not afraid to be humble. I'm not afraid to change. I'm not afraid to sit. I'm not. Because by the grace of God, I have learned that there are some things that you establish. If the Lord sent me to another local church, I would go through their process. Well, without demanding any special care. I wouldn't. Why? I am not the man there. We were with someone, you know, we were playing with some men of God. So this guy, basketball court, now his papa called him and started having him. The papa was the one who is wrong in basketball terms. He had him properly. Try to talk. I told him, oh, your papa. Zeya, I'm Zey. That's over here. You swallow. You know? You be wrong. I told someone, you see, even when you're playing with the men of God, you are still playing with men of. Don't forget. this is competition. That's how you come hard. You attack little. You know? It's an honor. You know, you say. You are playing soccer with Pastor Godwin. It's not the same way I would come at him like I'd come at Brother Victor when you're playing out. So Pastor Godwin says, hey, slowly, slowly. You know? Now, do you want to injure your pastor? Who will pray for you? But I think some of those things, they are just natural. You know, even you live co. Amen. You know, some people don't like those things, eh? We are all believers. We are not all the same. Even me, I reach someone, when I'm talking to them, I do like this. I promise. If they are seated on a chair, me, I kneel. Me, apostle, I kneel.
They are not pastoring me. But I respect them too much to stand when they are seated. You get. In public, it is real. I'm not faking it. It is what? It's real. If you look at my chat with my pastor, Pastor Godwin. Pastor Godwin is my friend, by the way. Look at the chat. Until today, when we are texting, I am like this somehow. Even when he makes a joke, let the pastor make the joke. You don't make it. Ever heard that one, eh? Hey, you be. Don't over, eh? I think something was posted on the page about that. How you shouldn't let access. Because I still need to receive from him. You know? And because I need to receive from him, I'll have a certain attitude deliberately. Some of you, the fact that you're not a friend to a man of God is the best thing that can happen to you. Some of you don't know how hard it is for people who are friends to ministers. How hard it is for them to adjust. Amen. Let's say, Pastor is not my friend. Sometimes it's good for you. And sometimes when a man of God realizes you are a bit immature, they will deliberately withdraw friendship. Amen. Amen. Now, for instance, Pastor Segun can text me sometimes. He can say, Reverend, I tell him, sir, me and you cannot both be reverends on this page. we are not, I wanted to tell him, we are not mates like that. It's like, hey, he says, hey, how are you doing? How's it going? When you're answering, you still maintain the fact that, you are what? You are there. You know, you can text a man of God long enough and you start thinking, we are what? Well, we are bad days. But we are not. So there's too much respect for him. When I want to text, I want to be sure I have what to say. Very well organized. With all the grammar. How are you, sir? You know? It's good because I'm listening to his teaching every time. I must maintain that hallowedness. For me to continue to see. Amen. There's an attitude. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 8, 1. Also, you see the emphasis of the local assembly. The church which was at Jerusalem. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. All the churches throughout all Judea. There were churches there. Acts chapter 11, verse 21. Great number believed and were added to the church. Verse 22, ears of the church which was at Jerusalem. So there is a gathering. Verse 26, the Bible says that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. The reality of the church. Believers who don't go to church, they are usually not very good examples to be with. Someone must be committed somewhere. We all don't have to be committed here. I'm not saying these people shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't relate with them, but you know how to relate. You know where you stop and where you don't go. They shouldn't be talking about men of God because they respect no man. Some people write blogs, these things of men worship. Some of those people are living in rebellion. Now again, the pastor gave a very good example. He said, you know, some people are mad when someone says, you are the best pastor, man of God, have been a blessing in my life.
you have changed my life. Some people get mad. Say, only Jesus is ABC. You know all those hypocritical? But he said, there's some people who go on Facebook and they say of their wives, you are the best thing. You are the most beautiful, what? You came into my life. You are my joy. So you're saying it about your spouse or your mother. So another person can't say it about their pastor. It's just the problem that there are people who are not loyal to anyone. So they use their disloyalty to affect those who are loyal. Because they're just disloyal. Amen. So be careful about those people. Never generalize. Pastors are. How many do you know? Like I told you, someone had a problem with the word man of God. You know, it's just because that person is fallen. Why would you have a problem with someone saying this is a man of God? What is your problem? Are you God? Or are you the man? So how can you call someone a man of God? What are the rest of us? What are you? You tell us, because we don't know. No one is a man of God. Can you be a man of God? Someone say, that guy is a very good teacher. Jesus said, don't call anyone good teacher. Nobody is good. Those people's problem is that there is something in their heart they are trying to suppress. They can't. They don't belong anywhere. And nowhere belongs to them. So, they are against all those who have a belonging. Don't be like that. Be proud. Be proud to be born again. Be proud of your pastors. I love Pastor Soto. He's here, I'm happy. I love Pastor Godin. Who wouldn't love Pastor? You know the poor don't love Pastor Godin. Like, who hates Pastor Godin? Like, you know there are some things which disturb you. The day I gave up is when someone came and said, Pastor Godin is not patient. I said, who can be saved? I said, I said, Pastor Godin doesn't care about me. Someone said that. I said, hey, I think then me, I don't know now what I am. I said, I joke with Pastor. I told her, Pastor, if they're saying this about you, I think for me now I'm an unbeliever. You know, there are people you know, and they're like, no, you can't say this. But you see, we should, you know, just love your pastor. And it's not like you're forcing love. There are things to love, right? And there are things to love. Okay, and there are things to love about us. Honestly, look at Pastor Ronald. Pastor Ronald is just sweet. Like, it's just sweetness. He just stands here. That one is... I mean, that is a... that is a nice man. He's a very nice... Honestly. He will come and say, hey, Apostle. He talks in pauses. You don't rush Pastor Ronald when he's talking. Mugamba mutya. You don't like that? I said, we are okay, sir. Those are good people. By the way, we have good pastors here. No, honestly, we have good pastors. And I'm very thankful to God for the men he has given us, for the men he has put over us. Don't you feel safe? I feel safe. I know I have men over me who love me, men who will check me, men who will encourage me. You know, God has given us good men. And let me just end by reading that from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Thank God for the men of God of our life. Wow. So grateful. So grateful. They love us. They feed us. They care for us. Some of us, they look for us. Anyway, these are good men. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Well, let's start from verse 11.
He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's just stand up and, you know, thank God for the privilege of the assembly. Thank God for pastors. Thank God for many of us. Thank God for our disciples. Come, let's just stand up. Please lift up your voices and just begin to thank God for me.